Hello, this is Dave, and you are listening to Bonsai Retro Club. Can you dig it? Wanted to let you know that you are now listening to part one of a two-part podcast episode. What happened is Rose, Scott, myself, as we tend to do, we talk for a long time. Because we have a good time talking with each other, and this is just one of those times that it happened that way. So the original podcast was well over 2 hours, so in order to make it a little easier for you to listen to, I've broken this up into two parts. So as I like to do, I am going to end part one on a little bit of a cliffhanger, but I don't want you to get too upset about that, because part two will be available in the same week. We'll tease you a little bit, but we won't tease you for that long. That's what you're getting into on this one, and I hope that you enjoy listening to us. Something else I wanted to make sure you knew about was on our website. We're starting to get some more updates for our blog, and we're putting some merchandising links out there on our website, BonsaiRetroClub.com. What happened was recently we got a new logo made. It looks really awesome, and we wanted to see what it would look like on t-shirts and coffee cups, stickers, pillows, etc. So now all of that is available to you to purchase if you want to help support our club. So you could either do that or even go to our Patreon link, which is on the same website, BonsaiRetroClub.com. We want to thank you for listening and being part of the club. Enjoy the show.
You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So you have the you have this concept. Are we? I mean, is there? Do you want to do separate shows or just one long one? Or what do you want to do here? You guys tell me.
3 decades might be a really long show.
Yeah.
So splitting them up into 3 shows might be a good idea. Although, I don't know. We could start with the 70s and see where it goes and see where we end up time-wise and make a decision then.
Well, I mean, it's really how we intro the show, you know?
Oh, that's true.
So, I mean, you know, if we're going to just stick in the 70s, then, that's what we say. But if we want to try to attempt to just blend all three into, like, one conversation, I'm good with that, too.
Okay. Just because it's a year-end wrap-up.
Yeah, and that's what I thought you were going with. So
that's kind of the direction I was leaning at first.
Right.
So, and if we stick to like the top number one, like not things that we choose.
Right.
But really the top selling or the top movies or whatever, you know, the album, movie, and TV show, and then we just each of us talk about that specific number one show,
right,
for each decade. It might go pretty quickly for that.
So, I mean, do we have the list up of what was the top of each one of those things for 77, 87, and 97?
If you look at,
I mean, I'm looking text- at, I'm lo- yeah, I'm looking at your email, so I see that you got 77 with Rumours for Fleetwood Mac, Star Wars. And Love Boat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So 87 is what?
Actually, the number one album was Whitney Houston's self-titled album.
Okay.
But I was, when I was thinking about doing my own just solo thing, because I wanted to do some filler since we kind of had a break where we didn't have any shows. I was going to try to do a filler show just on solo and do this myself. But then I thought, you know, this is too much for just one person. Not too much, but it would be so much more better.
So much more better.
Yeah, so much more betterer.
Betterer.
Funnerer. if it was the three of us, I think we'd just get a lot more out of it. And I didn't want to take that away from you guys either, of missing out on having your input on these titles, because I think they're fun. They're good titles, especially Rumors, Fleetwood Mac. I mean, come on, that's one of the biggest albums of all time. Really, it's hard to just bypass that and talk about it myself without you guys' input. So, right. Anyway, so
are we doing one episode?
Let's do one show. Let's just do wrap up the year. We'll go back 40 years from now and say 1977, 1987, and 1997. And let's just go for that.
Okay.
So I can send you a link to the Wikipedia page that lists the top list of Billboard 200 number one albums. And then at the bottom, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, you can just pick the year as we go. And then you'll be looking at the same list I am.
Well, I mean, you already sent it to us, though, right?
Well, I kind of summarized it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I just look at the message that you sent, other than 97, though, it looks like.
Yeah, well, when we get to 97, I'll kind of take lead, and I have it written down in front of me. And I'll go from there. Sound good?
It sounds good to me, Rose.
Yeah, great.
Okay. So, are you leading this show then, Scott?
Sorry, I was muted, coughing my head off. I would think, just because of my illness, I'm going to have to defer to one of you guys. I just don't want to be in the middle of a sentence and have to mute myself. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So, if you don't mind leading this, I would normally, because I'm okay with it, but if I talk for too long, it starts to tickle my chest, and I've had to mute myself several times so far tonight.
Okay.
So
I don't want to get all overlordish, Rose.
Okay. That's fine.
Did you want to lead?
No.
Fair enough.
Only because I don't. I don't know. This is both. All three of these things are kind of out of my wheelhouse. I mean, even for the 80s. I mean, I know Star Wars. I think we can do some really good discussion with Star Wars. And if all three of us have seen the episode of The Toys That Made Me. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yes, I actually did watch that, and it was amazing.
So I watched it yesterday, and it was very interesting. So I think we can probably give some, you know, credence to that. Love Boat. I watched it. I mean, honestly, I never like went back to revisit it because I always thought that it was kind of cheesy anyway. But so I'll just put in what
I'm sorry. What decade was the Love Boat from?
70s.
And what did that mostly encompass? Cheesiness. 70s was very cheesy.
That's a trick question. That's a trick question.
I object. Leading question.
Leading witness. Sustained. So, yeah, so I'll just throw in what I can.
All right.
Which includes, you know, Rumors, because honestly, I really didn't listen to a whole lot of Fleetwood Mac.
Wow, really?
Really?
All right, well, let's see where this goes then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let me do what I do normally and verify I'm recording. And I am. Very good. Always am afraid of that. To get into a podcast and then realize I'm not recording.
Yeah, we just did that 2 weeks ago when Rose and I did that 90s music or whatever the show was. No, it was Christmas Story.
Yeah, with Christmas
Vacation.
Was that the technical difficulties?
Yes, it was the original. Like we were talking, we did our, you know, pre-show talk of like 15 minutes, and I'm like, wait, we didn't record any of that, so I had to go back, and that's why I was kind of a little. If you listen closely, you'll hear that I'm a little discombobulated and trying to get things right to where I didn't sound like I was repeating myself.
Yeah, I after the one time I had that, I want to say the guy was in UK, but I contacted the guy back when we were doing 80s Reboot, and he was talking about the cartoon Mask. It was a great conversation. It was like 30, 40 minutes during my lunch break at work because I had to make time for him, and it was, you know, I was like, this is a great show, and I go to look back at it, and 0 bytes, and I'm like, oh my god. So I was a little miffed about that. So now I've gotten very cautious.
Yeah, me too.
So you get that one time that you screw up and you're like, all right, I've got to make sure. So, and I was even doing that with like Kristen last night. I was like, oh, right, hold on, I got to make sure I'm recording all this. So
yeah.
All right, let's see. This is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I have got the wonderful Rose.
Hey, everybody.
And the extra special, super crunchy Scott.
Crunchy. Yes, I am here. Hello, everybody. It's great to be back. Sorry if my voice sounds a little odd. I'm fighting a little cold here. So bear with me, everybody.
Yep.
It's the plague. Don't let him fool you.
It's the plague. What we're doing on this episode is we're doing a wrap-up episode for 2017. But our concept, being that we're doing things with the retro, is looking back at the 3 decades that we cover in our charter for Banzai Retro Club, being the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And the thought process, which is the brainchild of Scott, is to look at the years 1977, 1987, and 1997. What we're going to be doing is taking a look at the top album, movie, and TV show for each one of those 3 years. So, for lack of a better name, I'm just thinking that we should call this the Sevens, because we're wrapping up 2017. And we're looking at 77, 87, and 97, respectively. So Scott threw this idea out to Rose and I, and we wanted to take a chunk of looking at just the top things from each one of those decades and not really go through our own list of favorites. So this is really the things that were, you know, when you go online and we do the Google search and you look and say, what's the top album? You'll see these albums that we're going to talk about, or the top TV show or the top movie. So we got some good stuff coming up here, and I think that's how we're going to get things rolling. So Scott, this was kind of your thought process. I think you wanted to kind of get started with probably 1977, right?
Yeah, I figure we go all the way back to the beginning and go from there.
Okay, so starting, I guess, in the way that you kind of wrote things out for us, we're looking at the album So top album for 1977 being?
It was Rumours from Fleetwood Mac. And one of the things that I found really interesting about this was that, and as we go, we'll talk more about it. It was very clear cut that that album was the number one album of the year, because it was, now I don't know if it had the most sales, but it stayed at number one for the longest period of time throughout the year. And that's the way I looked at it, was what stayed at number one for the longest, you know, and it wasn't consecutive. It was overall. Rumours stayed at the number one album sales, for 29 weeks of the year.
Mm.
And that's like, that is incredible. Cause I was looking at some, you know, several years back and forth, you know, 75, 76, 78, 79. And there was nothing that compared to the way Rumours sold in 77. And it's really, it's, you go back and listen to Rumours and you know so many of the songs just from growing up. I mean, it's got Secondhand News, great song, Dreams, Never Going Back Again, Don't Stop, You Can Go Your Own Way, or Go Your Own Way, Songbird, and then that's just side one. And the second side, one of my favorite Fleetwood Mac songs is The Chain. And then You Make Love and Fun, which was, you know, sung by Christy McVie. And let's see, Gold Dust Woman is the final track on that one.
And then I Don't Want to Know and Oh Daddy were inside too also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of skipped over those because I don't really, I don't remember those too well. But the most of it was just, most of those songs, everybody's heard if you listen to your radio, classic rock or pop radio through the last 40 years. Everybody's heard a lot of those songs. And I was never like a Fleetwood Mac fan where I would go out and buy the albums and listen to the album and know the album, you know, front to back or whatever. Not like I did with some of the other artists that I loved musically. But looking, and I pulled this album up on YouTube it was on my iPod. I pulled it up and I just started at number one and I just let it play while I was working out in the garage. I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot that this album, all these songs are on this album. So that's the impact that it had. There's so many great songs on this album. So I just thought it was really cool to look back at it and remember a little bit of my childhood that we all grew up with Dreams and Don't Stop. And I'm just so many of them.
Now, when were you listening to this in the garage? Was it today?
When?
Yeah.
No. Let's see. I came up with this idea like Friday morning.
Okay.
And I had to get some stuff done. And I thought, okay, I'm going to work for like a couple hours. And I was you know, I was really kind of feeling a little bit under the weather already. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to get a couple things done this morning. Cause I had the honey-do list going and my own personal list going of things that I wanted to get done. I'm like, all right, I'm going to break off at 11. I'm going to just look at 77, 87 and 97 and see what comes up. And so I looked it up on my phone real quick in the morning and saw that Rumours was on. I'm like, okay, I'm going to just listen to Rumours while I'm doing my work. And so it just brought me back right away to, a lot of good memories.
Yeah, and the reason why I asked you was because earlier today, for Christmas, the house gift that that my wife bought us was the Google Home, which is like one of those home assistant things. Mm-hmm. And so then now the go-to phrase in the house has now been, "Hey Google," you know, so which is the way that you kind of like kick it off to, you know, so it knows, "Hey, I've got a command coming." And so, hey Google, is it like we shout every day, you know, it's like, hey Google, what's the temperature? Or hey Google, you know, tell me about my day. And it gives you like the news and all that kind of good jazz. But earlier today when Scott threw this idea at us, I was like, I don't know, Fleetwood Mac rumors. I don't know if I know these songs. And so, you know, I just, hey Google, you know, play the Rumors album on Spotify.
Nice.
And it started playing, which is just an awesome feature. And I'm not advertising at all for the Google Home device, but any one of those things that you get, you know, is
Alexa or Google, whatever, or Apple,
they'll all be able to do that same thing. But it's such a cool, you know, being able to do that and then just be able to stream that music. And all these songs started playing, and I'm like, okay, all right, I know these, all of a sudden, I know all these songs, but I didn't realize, I didn't know the names of the songs. That's what I discovered. So, you know, as they were playing, I was like, oh yeah, okay, that's Dreams, or that's, Don't Stop, well, Don't Stop's, you know, unfortunately, you know, thanks to Bill Clinton, that one got drilled into our head. But, you know, Go Your Own Way, obviously, you know, I mean, but as each one of those was playing, I was like, yeah, I know these songs. These are all iconic songs that I've heard over and over again. But I don't think that it's being, when I was growing up in the 70s, I grew up in a small town, and my dad was into country, like old time country. And my mom was into 60s rock and roll. So that was kind of what I got used to hearing. So a lot of the, you know, bands like Fleetwood Mac would have just been one of those things that I would have heard through other sources when I wasn't, you know, with my parents. So this wasn't something that would have been in the forefront of my 70s education, but throughout the years, I've heard these songs. And what I really loved, when the song that really spoke to me this morning when I was listening to it, and it was a really fun song, was Secondhand News. That one surprised me.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that one surprised me. I was like, I really like this song. So, so yeah, that was my kind of experience with, you know, revisiting this album.
Yeah, it was a hell of a lineup in the band too at the time, because, you know, they've gone through a few changes over the years, but, Lindsey Buckingham, Mick Fleetwood, Christy McVie, and Stevie Nicks, you know, that was just a great, great collection of talented people.
Yeah, and the Don't Stop song, I mean, I feel like we got that one crammed down us by Bill Clinton. So, you know, if you get remember anything about when he was getting inaugurated, that was like playing over and over and over again.
Yeah, that was his theme song.
Yeah. Don't stop.
Thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
What about you, Rose?
I know of the album. Fleetwood Mac, honestly, I didn't really know what to make of them. I appreciated a lot of their collaborations. They all wrote, they all sang. You know, it's just one of the first bands, you know, besides the Eagles that I can think of at the moment, off the top of my head, that everybody, you know, except for Mick. I don't think Mick ever sang, but, you know, Lindsey Buckingham sang, Christy McVie sang, Stevie Nicks sang. But for me, I guess Stevie Nicks got the most publicity because her voice is so iconic. I mean, I know I could tell stories about, you know, urban legends that I'd heard about her and, you know, and her unusual voice. And it kind of put me off at first, I think, mainly because it just was so unusual. And then, of course, later on, as I got older, I realized that he pretty much had a niche. She pretty much cornered the market on, you know, her style of singing. There wasn't a whole lot of people out there that did that. So, kind of knew what she was doing. A lot of the songs, honestly, did not wasn't aware that they're all on the same album. I mean, so think about that. When you have an album, like you said, Scott, that had been on charts for 29 weeks, that's over 6 months. That's half a year being at number one.
Yeah, that's longer than half the year. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah. And there's just so many other things to, you know, once you listen to music after a while and you find out different things about the band members. Because I honestly wasn't really familiar with even up until like 10 years ago. My husband and I are sitting in the airport at, it's the one in London. I can never.
Most war.
Yeah, the worst experience in my whole entire life in an airport. And, you know, and this was after they had the reality series. So this goes to show you that it's changed much afterwards. But I saw this beautiful woman. She was tall. She had this, it was summertime too. She had this fur coat on and these heels. And, you know, she was amazing with this hat. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like shoving at my husband. I'm like, I think that's Lindsey Buckingham. He goes, who? Like, you know, lady from Fleetwood Mac. He goes, God, I hope not. Lizzie Buckingham's a dude. And I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm like, you mean Christy McVie?
Christy like, McVie.
So I folded my arms in front of myself and I went, shut up.
You know? That's awesome.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, they obviously, you know, have been in, you know, the mainstream forever. And, you know, they play to sell out crowds. And this album, I think even long after it's been in, you know, music history, like you said, you know, you can still put it on and it goes, oh, man, you know, that's a cool song. Dreams is an amazing song. And I'm not even saying, you know, because if I heard any of these songs on the radio, I would sing along to them. I knew all the words because they were in constant rotation. So this is an excellent album of the 70s and one of the better ones, too, because anybody who knows 70s music, we didn't really have that option.
Yeah, there was a lot of crap.
Yeah, there's a lot of crap.
A lot of crap in
and
the
70s. Just broke through. Enos broke through, you know, them and Styx and Queen and, you know, they just kind of broke through. Yeah, the Eagles broke through all of that. You know, they even took down the middle of the road people and said, not in my house, we can't do this, you're putting people to sleep. So yeah, it's an excellent album.
Cool.
Alright, so I think that moves us to movies, doesn't it?
Yes.
So top movie for 1977. I don't think a lot of people have heard of it. A little thing called Star Wars.
Oh man. Yeah, just I don't know. It was a sleeper movie.
Yeah. Even though it's like a top movie, it's surprising that anybody saw it. Maybe we just move on to the next topic.
Actually, you know what? We probably could because I think everybody's heard enough about Star Wars.
Well, yeah, but about Star Wars is that they just keep reinventing, you know, and they just keep like. Okay, so I have to be the one to do this. It's fine. So yeah. Netflix has this show. It has a documentary on. And it's called The Toys That Made Us. And Star Wars is the first episode of the documentary. Yes. And it talks about the action figures. I don't even think they called it action figures back then. See, they didn't start coining that phrase until later. And it was the need. And all these visionaries, you know, had all the, you know, here's this movie and it's going to be about space and there's a battle and there's princesses and rogues and there's this guy in black that chokes people with his hand without, you know, even the second thought. And then, you know, just all this stuff. And then it's just like, there needs to be something to carry this out after the movie's over, you know, so people started thinking about toys. Mm-hmm. I know George Lucas had an idea about the toys. So Star Wars is just, you know, people, it's a part of our life, whether we want to believe it or not. Because I think that's who we are. we want to explore other galaxies and we want to visit other planets and, you know, we want to be, you know, involved in the cantina with weird people playing instruments you've never seen before. I don't know. I just think it's such a, you know, how can you deny the world, you know, that? You can't.
No, you awesome. Can't take that away. I mean, Star Wars is something that's part of our, it's become part of our culture. That's basic. That's just, you know, cutting it down to the basics. It's become part of our culture, not just in this country either. I mean, it's worldwide. It's huge. It's right now, it's the number one movie in the world. The latest one that came out. Which was 40 years ago that the first one came out, and now they're still making them 40 years later, almost a half a decade later.
Yeah.
And you know, this, we've talked about Star Wars many times over the last couple years between the three of us, and I've sat in on other podcasts and talked about the holiday special, which we all know is near and dear to me, but you guys hate it. However, it was the first introduction to Boba Fett.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's exactly, that was what I was going to bring up. I thought that was really cool that they gave that little shout out to the holiday special in that Netflix show that Rose is talking about, where it's like, Boba Fett was first introduced, you know, in the holiday special.
And he created this mysterious, you know, bounty hunter that nobody even knew about before The Empire Strikes Back. I mean, he wasn't even part of the picture yet.
No.
So it was a cool little tidbit of trivia there. Anyway, so Star Wars was the number one movie. It was huge, and it was the number one grossing film of all time. By the end of 1977. So I don't know how many weeks it actually stayed at number one. It was released in May of 77. I could not find like how long it actually stayed at number one. So, but it was obviously the number one movie of the year.
Which is great.
It was such an interesting way to like kick off that saga. You know, jumping right into episode 4. You know, you're like, okay, I'm joining a book in progress, but as you got involved in the story, or as you watched Luke kind of progress, you're like, I'm all in. You know, sign me up. You know, this was just a great, beautiful thing, and. You know, you ignored the fact that you were episode 4, you know, that's where it started from. And so I think that was genius by George Lucas to say, you know, let's start off with this story, you know, and, you know, instead of starting, you know, with the backstory for Anakin, you know, which he later did tell, but it was it was such an interesting way to start that back in the 70s. And I just, you know,
it was a gutsy move.
Yeah,
you know, it was a very gutsy move,
and I applaud him for that. I think that you know, it was genius, because that was the right story to tell back in the 70s. You know, this farm boy that, you know, had essentially nothing, you know, and then all of a sudden he was forced into this world where he had to be bigger than what he had thought he was. You know, I just realized that he had some sort of potential. And so I love the Luke storyline. And so 1977, I mean, that was fantastic, you know, to have that, you know, to have Luke's story and be able to see him progress through Empire and, you know, Return of the Jedi, just loving every bit of that, you know, that they gave us through the 70s and the 80s. So, yeah, this was a huge, major thing. And I think George Lucas is a genius, even though, you know, they're, you know, he does unfortunately give rights away when he does like the holiday special. You know, sorry, Scott. but you know, I don't know if he realized that he was starting a phenomenon, but he did, and it was just I love the guy for it.
Even though he declined an interview for the documentary.
Yeah, true. Well, you know, I mean, he's George Lucas. Does he really want to talk about toys?
It was his idea.
I know.
It's okay. We'll forgive him.
He gave us Star Wars. Next up, top TV show, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Love Boats.
Soon you'll be making another stop. A Love Boat. It's great. It's a great song. great TV show.
Well done, Jack Jones.
All I remember, like, I remember watching this show with my mom and dad or somebody, you know, we were watching it because in 77, I was only 9 years old. So it was just on the TV. And, you know, for years after that, you know, because it ran until 85. So I remember watching it, you know, for several years. I just always thought it is so interesting that a show would incorporate all these big name stars from other things that were going on in the movie and TV world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, because think about that, like today, you don't see that. You just don't see the number of cameos. Occasionally you'll see a TV show or a movie that'll throw in a few extra faces that you're like, oh, that's, you know, oh, look, Jack Black is making a 5-minute, you know, little appearance in this movie or whatever, or Will Ferrell will jump in and be a very, 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 very minor supporting role in some obscure way on some other movie or whatever. But if you think about this TV show, this and Fantasy Island kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
But this Love Boat really did bring in the big hitters. Because a few weeks ago we talked about the Partridge Family, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I will say that was one of the most eye-opening discussions that I had with you guys, because I did not know that all those people were involved with being part of the Partridge Family. So this kind of continues that conversation where they brought in so many people from outside. I mean, you had, I'm just looking at a few names. Milton Berle, Rue McClanahan, Burt Convy. Mm-hmm. And one of my all-time favorites as a guest on this show, and she's been on 10 episodes, was Charo.
Coochie, coochie, coochie.
I mean, how can you not love that, right?
I love Charo.
Florence Henderson was on 10 episodes. Linda Evans was on 7. You just got it. And the list goes on and on and on. Vicki Lawrence. Harvey Korman, 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Over the years, you know. And I'm guessing that they typically played different characters on each episode.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, how many people go back on the same one? Betty White was on 5 of Betty White. I mean, I love Betty White is one of my favorite all time. She's just hysterical. Comedians.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Who else?
Larry Peter Wilcox. Graves.
Larry Wilcox, yeah. Peter Graves.
He was in there.
Whoever was like popular in the 70s or at the time, they were on the show. And it wasn't because they were up and coming. It was already because most of them were established. You know what I mean? Like when we talked about the Partridge Family, a lot of the actors that we were talking about were like they were like in their youth of acting, where this was, these were established actors that had already been on a bunch of different things, and they're just kind of making these appearances as characters on this crazy little thing that they would go down to, you know, Acapulco from Southern California, and what they had a couple of stops. What was the other stop they always made? Acapulco and Puerto Vallarta. Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
Puerto Vallarta and Acapulco. And, you know, who you didn't know who was going to be on the show next week. Next week it could be, maybe it's Jamie Farr. You know, or Rose Marie from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and I'm scrolling down and it just keeps going and going and going. Loretta Swit. So anyway, I think it was a huge impactful show. Lauren Green. I'm sorry. I keep throwing out names.
No,
is this what they, this isn't what they call name dropping, but I'm not using it for my,
but it says that the show ran from 77 to 87, and I'm in IMDb right now.
87, and, okay.
Yeah, and 1,439 people were part of the cast. That was cast.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cast. Think about it. I mean, you're throwing out these names, and it's just like you can't help it because it just kind of goes on forever. I mean, you know, Ted McKinley, he was in it for 60 episodes. I don't even remember that.
What? Who?
I don't remember when Ted McKinley was in here. But he was in it for, he was in it from 83 to 87. Because he ended up later being, was it Marcy's husband on Married with Children?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he was in, I think he was in...
really? He was in that many episodes?
Happy Days, too.
Huh.
He was in a lot of stuff. And a lot of these people, Terry Hatcher and people like that, Marion Ross, you know, from Happy Days. A lot of these people were, like you said, they're well established, you know. And the premise of, you know, an episode of Love Boat was like therapy. You know, you'd sit there and you'd be like, okay, who's coming on to find love today? Oh, look, it's the couple that, you know, getting away from their kids and they're having fights. And then, of course, the doctor overhears, or, you know, Captain Steubing overhears and he gives them little tidbits of wisdom. And then everybody's okay and everybody's fine at the end of the show.
Well, I just want to, you know, I think the big question was, who was Doc going to whore himself out to that week?
Well, he was a bit of a man whore, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Like, he was always... Yeah. He was always like, it was implied that he was always hooking up with somebody. He's like a stud.
And you're right. We don't know if he was charging some of the older ladies. I mean, I'm sure that they pay for it.
And I always thought Vicky was really, really, really cute too. You know.
Well, who didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and being the age that I was, you know, 11 or 12. And,
oh, that's right.
Cause and like 9, that. 10, 11, 12. So she was young at the time. Mm-hmm. And she's probably a few, maybe 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years older than me. So you're like, oh, she's cute. You know,
I would have thought you would have thought that Lauren Tooth's character would.
Julie. Yeah.
Oh, Julie was. Oh, yeah. No, Julie. No, see, there's a difference. Okay. At the age, Vicky was cute, but Julie was hot.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
I've never been a 10-year-old boy, so I don't.
You should be thankful.
Really? I am.
Should be very glad that you were never a 10-year-old boy or a 12-year-old boy or a 9-year-old man.
Thank you. Yes, I count my blessings every day.
Yes, I'm Team Julie.
Or not right. Team Julie?
I didn't really have anybody on there for women. I mean, unless you went with, you know, was it Ted or Gopher? Away.
What, you didn't so like you, the, long, the, you didn't like the long socks of Doc Bricker? Is that his name?
No.
It was just Doc. Right?
No.
They just call them Doc all the time?
Yeah.
I was 17 years old in 1977, so I'm, you know, constantly trying to see. And no, none of these people do anything for me. Unless they had, like, a guest that came on. It was kind of hard.
But how can you not love Isaac?
Isaac was cool.
Isaac was really cool.
Yeah.
Wait.
And he knew everything, because he was a bartender. I think that's, like, isn't that prerequisite to be a bartender? You have to know everything? And how else are you ever able to give people advice?
Right.
Yep.
So looking at IMDb trivia, who are the only three actors to be in every episode?
No, I'm actually looking at it, so I won't.
Too bad. Okay. All right, so it's Captain Steubing, Dr. Bricker, and Isaac Washington.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, Captain Steubing has been used as a funny joke, even when we go out on the boat, you know, or if we're going with somebody on a boat. Oh, hey, Captain Steubing, don't forget to do this, you know, whatever, you know, we'd always throw that out there. So, anyway.
I like Gavin McLeod. He I loved him in the Mary Tyler Moore show. So I was really happy when they gave him his own show. I thought, you know, he was kind of like the unsung hero.
Yeah.
Because the focus was always on the editor and Mary, I think. But yeah, he was cool. I liked him.
Yeah.
He's very good at playing the straight man. You know, even though there's like comedic elements that are happening around him, he's the you know, he'll give you that straight delivery of whatever it was, even though it was comedic at the same time.
Yes.
Gavin McLeod was great at that. Yeah, he's great at that. You know, either Mary Tyler Moore or even in this show.
Yeah.
So yeah, hats off to him for that. But yeah, the show for me, you know, I always relate it, if I look at it as a modern view of it, I look at it from the perspective of The Simpsons. You know, you were somebody if you were on the Love Boat, you know, back in the 70s. Yeah. And then, you know, the modern day take on that is you're somebody if you can get on The Simpsons. And that's what this show did. It was like a rotating thing, you know, for who's who of Hollywood to get into this show. Whether, you know, and it may have been at the, you know, before they became it, they became the big thing, you know, much like their time on, you know, like we talked about with the Partridge Family. So I see the Love Boat as the same thing, or Fantasy Island, you know, it was just the rotation, you know, you did one of those shows. And you know, it was a great formula. It was, you know, but the thing that got a little tried and true about it was the, you know, everybody's all happy and good to go as soon as they get on board, but then there's drama in the middle, and then everybody makes up by the end.
Yes.
So it was kind of like, all right, can we like break away from that formula and get a little something different, please?
No. This formula works. You never break. You never fix what's not broken.
Yep.
Or something like that.
But the Love Boat, yeah, for a 70s vehicle, that was it fit the build. It did exactly what, you know, it needed to do for, you know, the TV watching audience. You know, because you had drama and you had, you know, romantic elements of sorts. And you know, that was definitely, you know, for that hour block of time, you know, you can kind of escape from real world and be transported into, you know, the drama of the day for whatever person was dealing with it at that time, you know, and you know, if you could relate to people like Captain Steubing or Doc or, you know, Isaac, you know, mm-hmm. you'd be like, you know, I'm going to tune in every week and enjoy the ride. And, you know, even Gopher.
Even Gopher.
Ship's purser. That just sounds like such a rank job.
Yeah.
Poor Gopher. Everybody picked on Gopher.
What the hell do you do? What's a ship's purser?
Good question.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You're Navy. Ooh, you should know this.
Ask Google Home. Hey, Google, what's a ship's purser?
She's in the other room.
Darn. I need to get one of those. My cousin had when I was staying with her during Christmas time. She had one, and this music was playing. She had like the blasting Christmas music. Like as soon as you walk in the door, it's like, whoa, this is a lot of Christmas music. And so you could tell Google, hey, Google, can you turn it down? And mm-hmm. she does, which is awesome. So then I kept hearing stuff that I didn't recognize. Like, hey, Google, who sings this song? This song was sung by Bill Somebody in 1953. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, cool. And then, yeah, she went shopping and I learned all kinds of stuff. I learned how to make, like Russian tea cakes and she had this coffee and I'm just like, hey, Google, what kind of coffee is this? And this coffee is made with 100% Arabica beans. I was like, damn, this is all awesome. Really
yeah,
love it. Gotta get one.
Yeah, it's a fun device to have. And by the way, I just Googled it. A ship's purser yes. is a person on a ship principally responsible for handling of money on board. So, yeah, that's definitely not somebody. Somebody not in the Navy would have known that. By the way, Scott.
Okay, I'm just messing.
You couldn't trust Gopher with nothing. He was always getting in trouble.
And so this is the guy in charge of money. Like, all right, who did that? Yeah, exactly. Who picked this guy?
I know, right? That's just totally unsuitable.
All right, so we're done with 1977, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I think so.
Move on to 87.
Hi, 1977.
So 1987, top album. We're going to be talking about Whitney, self-titled album.
Yes.
Oh, wow. There was like a dog bark in there.
Whoa, did you hear that? God.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, that's
obviously, the dog does not want us to talk about Whitney Houston.
Or he's trying to run through her hits real quick. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's Ted. He's our foster right now.
Hi, Ted.
Yeah, he's a really sweet dog. He's very cool.
He sounds very cool.
Party on, Ted.
He's in the other room. He doesn't like. He's. I should call him Velcro. Because he wants to be by me all the time.
Aww.
It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard to give him up when we find a family for him. But we definitely are looking for a new home for him. He's really, really sweet and playful and lovable, but yeah, he's attached to me. So
that's sweet.
I'm, you know, because I'm in the office and I have the door closed and he's out there with.
Oh, he wants to be with you.
He's out there with Chrissy and Bella and Molly, the two other dogs, and he feels the need to be in the room just for a few minutes and then he goes and stands by the door and wants to go back out. I don't know. Anyway.
Aww.
Don't worry about Ted.
No,
he's a really good boy. So.
I just thought of a Christy McVie song. I want to be with you everywhere.
I want to be.
I won't sing though.
That's a good one.
That is a very good one. I always like that one. But that'll be his theme song.
But, you know, I want to dance with somebody who loves me.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. I love that. Whitney.
So this was an interesting year, 87, for albums. And I know Whitney is the, she was the number one seller. And mm-hmm. I was I was comparing it because the first year that I looked up was 77 and I saw how dominated the charts were by Rumors. And I went to this year and I'm like, wow, it's really kind of broken up. But it's only broken up by like five different artists. So Whitney had 11 weeks at the top 10 or in the top, in the number one spot. And then there was, you know, a set, number two was the U2 Joshua Tree with nine weeks.
Yeah.
And then there was a three-way tie between, let's see, the Beastie Boys, License to Ill, Dirty Dancing soundtrack, and Slippery When Wet by Bon Jovi. And they all tied for third place in that year for with 7 weeks each. And I just thought it was interesting how it was split up a little bit more. And we'll get it once we get into 97, it gets really interesting. So I know that I know a lot of these songs. I remember hearing them on either watching them, the videos on MTV, or hearing them on pop radio, just being out and about. Not that I really listened to pop radio at the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing So Emotional or I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Yeah.
Didn't We Almost Have It All? Actually, it's a beautiful song. It's a good song.
My favorite.
I don't know too many of the other ones on this one, so I don't have too much more to add on that one.
Yeah, I'm kind of struggling myself. I mean, you listed the three songs that I know of, and I'd be curious if I had, you know, my Google Home device right here that I'd be able to say, hey, Google, play just The Lonely Talking Again to find out if I knew the song or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's a lot of times it's the title, you know, I know the songs, but I don't, you know, it's like I don't relate the title of the song to, you know, what I'm listening to. Like, you know, I may hear it on the radio or something like that. So I may know all these. But, you know, I can't think of them in my head right now because I didn't do the same thing I did with the Rumors album. So I, you know, I Want to Dance with Somebody Who Loves Me. I mean, that sticks out in my brain as the go-to song on this album. I mean, you just couldn't go anywhere without hearing that song. You know, back in the day, you know, and it's a weird message though. I want to dance with somebody who loves me. You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't understand the, you know, maybe there's a little more to it than, you know, I'm giving credit to just the title, but I mean, is the message that, you know, I'm only going to dance with somebody if they have some sort of affection to me, but I, you know, if you don't have that, then don't bother asking. Is that what she's saying?
No. Okay. And it could be, but I feel if you ever watch the video, I think it comes from, this is just me. It comes from a loneliness standpoint. And I think, you know, she wants to be with someone and she, you know, she sees all of these people that are out and she goes to clubs because the 80s was all about the nightclub scene. And you'd see people on the floor and they'd be dancing and only the ones that would go up when the slow songs came on. You know those people that were, you know, emotionally attached to each other and, you know, they were slow dancing and it was all romantic and everything. And I'm thinking, you know, she was starting to feel like, you know, maybe this wasn't going to happen for her in the song. I'm just, you know, just spitballing here. And she wanted to be that person. She wanted to be that person that, you know, would go out with her boyfriend and or fiance or however you want to spin it. And she wanted to be that person on the dance floor that always had a dance. You know, if you're dating someone and you dance and they dance and you have your favorite song come on, you're always going to have a dance together no matter what. And I think that's the point of view where she was coming from.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Cool.
Whether it's the whole point of the song or not, we'll go with that. That's our theory, so. That's a story. We're sticking to it.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the IMDb page of this album, and mm-hmm. and one thing that jumps out at me is that she was okay. I'm not going to try to take anything away from Whitney Houston. She
Thank
had an
you.
Amazing voice.
Thank you.
But I will say she was not a writer. She did not write one single song. She was a performer. And people mm-hmm. gave her songs to perform, and she nailed it when she did those songs. I'll give her that
That's
much.
But
it was
just
it could be. Actually, yeah, because it's not of your own. You're not hearing it in your head until actually somebody presents it to you, right?
Right.
Okay. But it's just interesting to see that, like when I was looking at the page for the Rumors album, it was mm-hmm. all either McVie, you know, all the writers were the actual mm-hmm. members of the band,
right.
Where this is all a bunch of different people that are writing
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway,
and For the Love of You is an actual cover by the Isley Brothers. So.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Oh, uh-huh. yeah. See that now. Isley, yeah. By Isley. Mm-hmm. Since there's three Isleys right there. Marvin, Ronald, and Kelly.
Just saying that Whitney's hot, too, also.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
She encompassed everything. She was the whole package.
It's
and then
shame.
When she... Yeah. It was, and she broke off to do movies. I mean, you know, who has a dry eye in the house that's watched The Bodyguard? You know, and the
I had a dry eye because I never saw it.
I said that those of us who watched.
This is the part where I go.
You know, and yeah, so she. Very illustrious career, very gifted young woman. This album just proves it. I mean, she had so many hit singles on here. Where Do Broken Hearts Go? That's always a good song to fall back on when, you know, you feel like you've got a broken heart, I would think. But it's, I don't know, she just has so much. She's
well,
so gifted.
And We Almost Have It All is kind of a broken heart song too, right?
Oh yeah, that was
that's a tear. We were so close, but we didn't have it.
Yeah. That reminds me of Just Once by James Ingram. You know, that's another good one.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Had these power ballads, you know, when you had to just spew your emotions all over everybody and just. You know, great stuff. I personally will not, under any circumstances, karaoke Whitney Houston, only because I can't. Chill. I won't torture anybody with that caterwauling because it's just not fair to the people that are listening. So
she had an incredible voice. Really.
Very unique. Very gifted, very unique. Yeah. So this is a really good.
You think back to all the national anthems that have been sung over the years at Super Bowls or football games or baseball games or anything, and hers always is one of the, you know, a lot of people refer to it as the best rendition of the national anthem.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 1991.
Yeah.
And
it was truly incredible. It was a no-flaw performance on that.
It was a no-flaw performance.
Yeah.
Sorry, Aretha.
Hey, you know, there's been a lot of really great artists that have done a great rendition of the national anthem, but she was on for that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was just perfectly on. So,
yeah.
Anyway, you want to move on to the movie?
Moving on to the movie. What?
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!